From Peoria Public Radio, this is Out and About. I'm Nathan Irwin.
And I'm Suzette Boulay with Arts Partners of Central Illinois. This week we're talking with Brian Fox Ellis about the annual Springdale Cemetery tours that continue this weekend. Tours are tomorrow and Sunday at 2 and 4 p.m. Good to see you again, Brian.
Always great to be here.
And for anyone who hasn't attended the Springdale Cemetery tours in the past, you know, can we kind of present the concept? You and a group of actors portray figures from Peoria's history in a setting at the Springdale Cemetery.
Yeah, I love that you are in the context of where these people rest in peace. And we hire 6 or 8 actors in period clothes to tell the true stories, but present it as an autobiography. So you get to meet these characters who are not only players in Peoria's past, but we look for people who had some role either nationally or internationally. And this year, like always, some really moving and dramatic presentations. It's a walking tour. The entire walk is about a half a mile. So basically you walk 100 steps, listen to a character, walk 150 steps, meet another character. So I do encourage people to bring a lawn chair if they like, because, you know, you sit for 8 or 10 minutes, then you walk for 2 and sit for 10 minutes.
How many characters do you have altogether, and who are some of them this year?
Well, every year we go to a different part of the cemetery and we choose different characters, except this year. This is our 11th anniversary, and people last year were kind of clamoring for our greatest hits of sorts. So I did a little bit of a survey, and who are your favorite characters? And the lineup actually varies somewhat day to day, depending on what actors are available. I'm playing Robert Avery, early industrialist, founder of Averyville. Chip Joyce is playing Joseph Petard, who was a sculptor who carved some of our most beautiful pieces. Charlie Brown is playing William Hawley Smith, educator and philosopher who had a national reputation but is unknown in Peoria. Kay Price is playing Phoebe Bueller. Kim Holdham is playing a woman that probably many of your listeners remember. She ran a restaurant where meals were free for the homeless. And if you could afford it, you might pay extra to cover the meal of the person sitting at the table down the counter. And so always great stories and well portrayed by some of Peoria's finest.
So you say you try to concentrate on a specific section of the cemetery each time you do this. But now, since you're sort of doing the greatest hits collection, are you still physically staying in one location, or are you moving around the cemetery a lot more?
Yeah, that's the one little sacrifice with doing this way. It's actually better for the audience because we group them all together. So you're not at the actual cemetery site for most of these characters, but it does make a short walk because we have just St. Mary's Loop. So it's a shorter than normal walk. Yeah, usually the actor is standing right next to the tombstone, or it's just up the hill, visible from where they're standing. But this year, because they're from all over the cemetery, they are right inside the gate, right at Prospect.
And I'm wondering how you help your actors nurture their own particular style, because it seems to me some give a monologue, some do not give a monologue. They are actually conversing with the individuals they're looking at.
Well, we always strive for that. Even though I'm doing all the talking, it feels like a dialogue. That's always the goal. And a lot of it does come from the actors. They get a lot of credit because I might help with the research and script development, and I might do a little coaching, but I've been really blessed to have some wonderful people who come out year after year because they love it as much as the audience. And you're right, though, that we do strive that each of these characters are telling their unique stories in a unique voice and style. So a couple of things we often do is musical theater. Like this year, I'm singing a song that I wrote that I think helps propel this person's story. Other years, we'll choose a period song that, because it was from the top 40 of their generation, we can assume that that character knew that song, and it, again, helps tell the story. Sometimes we'll have a dialogue where there are 2 or even as many as 5 characters. They're all buried in a family plot, and they take turns telling the family history.
And I almost get the impression that this is absolutely some people's niche.
Yeah, it's a great place. I mean, for me as a performer, I couldn't imagine a more intimate setting. You know, you're talking to a small group of 20 or 25 at a time, and it really is a conversation. It's a great place to tell stories, and the actors really love that kind of intimacy.
You know, I know that museums are always trying to find new ways to present information about history and about the people in history. So what do you think it adds by having historical characters not just represented by, you know, a two-dimensional display, but being recreated by another human being? Does that create a new or different way to access history?
I know it's a cliche, but it does bring history to life. I do a lot of work with museums across the country. Later this month, I'll be in Murfreesboro at the Logan Museum as John A. Logan. Early November, I'll be at a nature center as Charles Darwin. Then I'll be in an art museum as Prince Maximilian. And then I'll be in a library as Edgar Allan Poe. And a lot of museums around the country hire me for that very reason, because it's one thing to look at a flat display or to read it in a book, but when that character steps out of the pages or steps onto the stage or is there in the museum exhibit telling the stories first person, history is palpable. It's real. It's tangible. It's not just an abstract idea anymore. And so the cemetery tour is a real immersion, not just in Peoria's history, but in regional and national history.
And how do you gain access to the actual names? Is there a log at Springdale itself where you have to look through and think, these are the people we're going to do?
Well, over the years, I've had a lot of help from various historians, but Linda Elward with the Peoria Public Library, now retired, has been one of the greatest. She and I will often go out and we'll just wander around the cemetery and we'll look at tombstones. And it may be that the tombstone attracts me and the name or the big family plot, or that she already knows the story of this family or that family, or maybe there's a street name and I recognize the name and I'm thinking, well, there's got to be a story here. And so we go out and we walk the grounds and we might pick a dozen characters from a section. We do a little bit of research and kind of sift it down, look at the actors that are available and what characters fit which, you know, people I have available to portray them. It's a wonderful winnowing process.
That's a great idea, because I think the cemetery plots themselves are telling you a story.
Yeah.
You said you try to limit yourself to people who are buried at Springdale. So I would imagine that there must be some people that you would love to do who had made a major contribution to this community, but you can't because for whatever reason they happen to be buried someplace else.
Yes. Within the wrought iron fence of Springdale Cemetery, that's the limit that we draw. And the truth is there are 70,000 people buried there and room for 50,000 more if you're not feeling too well. So we have 70,000 stories to tell, and sadly new ones are planted every day.
So you're not worried that you're going to run out of stories anytime soon?
No.
Okay.
You couldn't have better weather this weekend, but if Mother Nature weren't permitting, what would you do?
Well, if it's just a light sprinkle, we're still out there. I mean, most of us are wearing wool and we carry umbrellas, and we encourage the audience to. Last year we did kind of get rained out. We had a couple cold, wet days. But we do go rain or shine, and we do have access to a building. If it's really bad, we can move indoors. But we're crossing our fingers. The forecast says Sunday is going to be a particularly beautiful day, and so I hope they come out in droves. And Sunday is the last day. Again, it's Saturday and Sunday at 2 o'clock and 4 o'clock. We do begin promptly at 2 or 4, so we encourage people to come at least 10 or 15 minutes early to register.
And where should folks meet up? Because Springdale's a big place.
This year, we're right inside the gate, so the Prospect Avenue entrance. There's plenty of parking right around the buildings, and we will be registering people then. It is $10 for adults and $5 for kids, and it is a fundraiser. Over the years, we've done a lot of good work there. We restored the Soldier on Soldier Hill. We've planted trees. This year, we're leaning towards earmarking some of our funds to buy some more trimmers and help with the maintenance, the grounds crew.
Now, is there anyone that you've come across over the years and you think that there's a great story to tell there, but you just haven't been able to uncover enough of the historical record to you just haven't been able to put together enough documentary material to build that story yet?
That's a great question, but the answer is a simple no. We've not had that problem. I mean, there's literally hundreds of stories. The problem is usually the opposite. Like the character I'm playing this year, I originally wrote as an 8 to 10 minute piece for the cemetery tour, but then I was hired by the John Deere family for the Deere celebration a year and a half ago. They had their, I don't know if it was bicentennial of John Deere's birth, and I portrayed Robert Avery Tractor, and I stretched it into an hour long show because there's just that much material about this character.
Brian, you give keynote presentations, you're a writer of school curriculums, you're an occasional reviewer for the Live Theater League. How do you balance all these efforts?
I tell stories, whether it's on the radio, on TV, live is my favorite, in books and magazines. Since you brought that up, I'm kind of a little bit proud. I've published my 16th book and my 100th magazine article. 100 was my lifelong goal, and so now I don't know what I'm going to do with the rest of my life.
We've been talking with Brian Fox Ellis about the Springdale Cemetery tours. They continue tomorrow and Sunday at 2 and 4 p.m. Brian, thank you, and break a leg.
Always a pleasure.
Nathan, tonight at 7:30 p.m., the Illinois Central College Performing Arts Center presents My Favorite Things, a Broadway Review. It features the timeless music and lyrics of Rodgers and Hammerstein. If it could use a little more sunshine in your life or a little mood uplift, this beautifully uplifting Rodgers and Hammerstein music is for you.
Finally, Suzette, Many Lights Theater in Canton is presenting The Laramie Project 10 years later. The original play tells the story of Matthew Shepard, the gay college student who was kidnapped and killed in Wyoming. This play is a sequel to that. It revisits Laramie 10 years later and takes a look at what has changed over the years. Performances are this weekend and next at the First United Church of Christ in Canton.
Out and About is a production of Peoria Public Radio and Arts Partners of Central Illinois. Each week, we connect you to the arts community by talking with local arts leaders and performers.
Our producer is Stephanie Sobey. If you'd like to learn more about Peoria Public Radio, visit us on the web at peoriapublicradio.org. I'm Nathan Irwin, and this is Out and About.